Welcome to the Steel Study with your hosts, Andrew and Jeremy, where Steelers football comes together with history, education, and flat-out random weirdness. Let the lesson begin.
Happy weekend, everyone, and welcome to the second edition of the Steel Study podcast, where Steelers football, history, education, and flat-out random weirdness collides. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jeremy.
I'm Andrew.
And again, welcome to the Steel Study. And just to want to say a quick thank you to the four people who listened to our first episode last week, Mom. Dad, thank you so much. I know you're listening. My brother, Zach, my cousin, Chad, got some props from you guys. So much appreciated. And Jake, we know Jake's out there listening.
Who?
Jake, the man Moore. And we
need less of him.
Yeah. Less of Jake. But in all seriousness, thank you so much for listening. You know, this is something fun that Andrew and I are doing, and we would just ask if you could spread the message. Get this out there, share it with your friends, their family members, all Steelers fans. We'd like to spread our message far and wide. So many thanks for that. And just to let you know, we haven't even kicked off our site, The Steel Study, thestillstudy.com. We will actually be officially launching the site Wednesday of next week when we have our next podcast. And we have our final editions of our mock drafts. So if you've looked at the site recently, you see that it's not completely done. It's kind of half-baked. But again, we're just trying to get this out there instead of talking about it. We're trying to take some action. So you're also going to want to check our Twitter and our Instagram, which right. Andrew is in charge of that. I don't know if that's a good
thing. That's not a good thing.
Not a good thing. But you can check there for updates whenever we have new articles. We'll have that information posted to you. But a lot of cool things on the way. And I also want to put us on the hook for our first big project. Being that we call ourselves the Steel Study, we're educators. We're nerds about learning, reading, writing. And Andrew is a history nerd. We're going to be doing a comprehensive study on Ben Roethlisberger, chronicling his entire career. It will start with an overview of quarterbacks in Pittsburgh. We'll transition to Roethlisberger's life, his initial start of his career in high school in Findlay, Ohio. We'll cover his college career and then his entire career as a Pittsburgh Steeler because, you know, this potentially could be his final year. But we're going to have, like I said, a comprehensive – it's essentially going to be a book that we're going to write. We're going to research it, and we're going to release it in sections starting near the end of May. And by August, it should be complete. But we wanted to put that out there that that's our first big project we're working on. And Andrew, anything that you want to add to that project we have in the works?
No, but it's just you've said everything. The only thing I would, I guess, add would be that it's a classic serialized project where week after week you'll be able to follow along and see what we're up to and where we're going to take that project. And quite frankly, we're hoping that it ends in a really positive way in February.
Yeah, yeah. And if we could bring home number seven,
four number seven.
Too bad it's not 2027. But you get the gist. So you can look forward to that. And then following our Roethlisberger project, we'll have something new. Obviously, we're just getting started with this one, but that just gives you an idea of where we're going. I also just want to start out with some gratitude. It is a Friday. It is the weekend, and how can you not be excited about that? But again, just grateful for the fact that the NFL draft is next week. It was released that the NFL schedule is going to be released the second week of May. I believe that's May 14th.
I think it's the 12th.
The 12th, May 12th. So just grateful for that and just really grateful for the opportunity to sit down with Andrew here today and present to you episode number two. And again, if you can please share this with your friends, your family, give us a like, tweet it out, put it on your Instagram page, share it. That will help us here at the Steel Study. So, An overview for today. Last week, we did a mock draft exercise where Andrew kicked it off. He did a pick. I did a pick. This week, we're actually going to go pick for pick with our own mock drafts, where Andrew will start with his round one pick. Then I'll go. Then he'll do the second round. So on and so forth until we complete all seven rounds. We did not trade out. This is going to be a pure draft exercise with the picks that are in place. And then from there, we'll go over some Steelers news that has happened in the past week. You know, there was some dubious news today about one of our cornerbacks that is infuriating and really probably changes the trajectory of the draft today. So we'll talk a little bit about that later on. We'll get into our mock. Andrew has a great history lesson for us today on Super Bowl 43. I'm looking forward to that. I have no clue what it's going to be about. We'll wrap up with what we have to look forward to, a preview of next show, which again is going to be we're going to try to record next Wednesday because the draft is Thursday, and that will be it. And we're going to try to do this all in 45 minutes. And we
got to start with some reflection, though.
Yes.
As any good teacher would do. Reflect on last week. One of the first things that I wanted to talk about was almost instantaneously after our mock draft, we had a conversation about mistakes or concerns that we had. One of the concerns I had was just Travis Etienne, as much as I might like him, is more of a home run hitter than I really took stock in. And over the last few weeks, or over the last few days, I should say, have been questioning whether or not that's a smart pick, whether that's a logical selection for the Steelers at 24. There's a large part of me that was attracted to his home run hitting capabilities at Clemson. Najee Harris makes a lot of sense, but at the same time, there's a possibility that it might be defense first this time around. And that gives you a little sneak peek, I think, where I'm going with my mock this week.
Yeah, and, you know, Andrew brings up a good point. You know, as we were talking after the show, I thought I did a horrible job in my analysis of Brady Christensen, actually arguing that he was not a super athletic tackle. He's really not, you know, so my analysis could have had greater depth there. And then, yeah, could have done a better job with William Bradley King. So I just felt like, you know, I did not deliver, so I'm hoping that I deliver much better today. So I would give myself a D.
Well, I'm going to give myself an F simply because I knew this beforehand.
You're so modest.
I know. I knew it beforehand, and I just simply made a mistake. Burt Bell was not the first commissioner of the NFL.
And How dare you?
I think we all know this.
How dare you?
He was the second NFL commissioner, but I would argue that he was the first consequential commissioner of the NFL. But again, we'll make sure we correct our mistakes week after week. But I think we're ready to get into it. Are you?
Yeah, and you know, we're gonna jump in here, and I actually have this out of order. We're actually gonna start with some Steelers news, and the biggest news of the week: Coach Tomlin,
three more years, signs
an extension. What's your take on that?
I was actually surprised by it. We had talked previously outside of this podcast about the idea, and I know Jake, our mutual friend, had this opinion too, which was that perhaps that Ben, Colbert, and Tomlin would be done at the same time, almost like a, you know, clearing house under their own volition. I'm not surprised that Tomlin's going to stay or that he signed an extension. I think that's gives us a sense that maybe they're going to draft a little bit differently than I had anticipated. For whatever reason, I felt as though they were drafting for next season and next season only. And I think with Tomlin sticking around, that gives them a sense, or not a sense, but gives me a sense that they're going to be looking beyond Ben's final year.
Yeah. And I think there are a lot of people out there who are critical of Mike Tomlin. And it's hard to argue against that if you look at, you know, sheer playoff wins over the past several years. However, Pittsburgh, we are spoiled in terms of having the expectation that every year we're going to win a Super Bowl. I don't know if that's even realistic in an alternative reality. The fact that Tomlin has never had a losing season, sure, he has had multiple 8-8 seasons, but if you look what he has had to work with, for instance, Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph, and to still pull off an 8-8 season, I think there's something there. Obviously, obviously, and he's a leader of men. A lot of time he gets criticized as being a player's coach. But is that necessarily a bad thing? Because year after year, his teams are always in contention. And I think this is the right move. I think, 56 years there have been three coaches?
Since 69.
Yeah. And I think Tomlin will win another ring before it's all said and done. Will it be with Roethlisberger? I don't know, but I think this is the right move for the franchise.
I think one of the things that is perhaps misunderstood about Tomlin is that I'll use this analogy. In Philadelphia, I think the Philadelphia sports fans got pretty annoyed and angered by Andy Reid near the end of his tenure. But if you take a look at it, they've had three coaches since Andy Reid was fired in, I think, 2014 or 2013, yes. something like that. There is something to stability. Now, a lot of coaches in the NFL, whether it was, you know, any other franchise, you lose the last five games of the season and you get, you know, solidly defeated by the Browns in the playoffs, you're probably going to be shown the door the next day.
Yeah.
But that's not the Steelers. You don't get six Super Bowls by being capricious, by being, right, you know, by flying by the seat of your pants. And that's something that I take great stock in. I love the Steelers for that sort of a very consistent mindset, plodding along, and three coaches in, you know, 50 some odd years is really telling.
I want to thank you for reminding me of that Browns loss as sure. We head into the weekend. It was very traumatizing. I can see some nightmares up for me this week. So thanks for that, Andrew.
You got it.
I just see Roethlisberger scrambling for that ball in the end zone. It's awful. Horrible.
Yeah.
So Tomlin extended. I have a little piece I'll be publishing on the site about that. But again, I think that's good news, and it's going to help us get back into contention this coming year. But then also, you know, if this has been Ben's final year, help steady the ship as there is some turnover. Something else in the news, not really a big deal, but the numbers on the jerseys have changed.
I love it.
Changed a little bit.
I love it.
I mean, who cares?
I love it.
Tom Brady has come out, and I know the affinity that Steelers fans have for Tom Brady, but he's come out and said, you know, what's the big – who cares?
No, but he was saying that it's going to produce a lot of bad football. A lot of missed blocks, missed assignments because you're focusing on numbers. And my thought is the college game successfully executes plays and mm-hmm. blocking schemes with a different number scheme. It doesn't seem as though that's going to be problematic. I mean, I'm not going to argue with Thomas Edward Brady.
Bradley?
Bradley, yeah.
Speaking of alternative universes.
Yeah, right. It just seems as though it's a story that doesn't need to be talked about too much. It'll be cool. I think Juju should go back to number nine.
Number nine. I think that's happening. And I saw an Instagram post from Joe Hayden. He was like, what do you think? And I can't remember what his number was back in the day at Florida. But I think he wants to go back to a single-digit number.
I don't remember his number either. That's
why don't you check that out?
I will check that out.
And speaking of cornerbacks, Joe Hayden, stand-up guy. Love him. You know, he is getting a bit long in the tooth. He'll be paired with Cam Sutton opposite him this year on the field. Oh, Joe Hayden, number five. Man, he looks jacked in that picture.
Yeah, Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, he's a beast. But anyway, speaking of Steelers cornerbacks, Justin Lane arrested, speeding, loaded 9mm in the car.
This feels like the Browns playoff loss to you. Like, this to me is the worst news that could have happened today. Not because I like Justin Lane, but because we just don't need it. We already cut Stevie Nelson.
Yeah.
We're thin at cornerback to begin with. It's going to be problematic going into the offseason or into the post draft.
And here's the thing. If they do for some reason cut him based on this offense, it changes how you approach the draft because there's a significant need there. Because I think we're planning on him being the number three corner. He's going to be the backup on the outsides. He's more of a perimeter corner. He's rangy. He hasn't really done much in his early years, but not a good look for him. Wouldn't be surprised if he gets cut. If he does get cut, then throw this mock draft that we're about to do
out the window.
Right. Because it's a complete waste.
We can always rely on Marcus Allen to come up in the clutch.
And
I'm kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he's a linebacker, because he's too slow to be a safety.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
Yeah, not happening. But, you know, there's our main news for the week. The Tomlin extension, again, the numbers, that I think that shows you how slow the news, which is a good thing. But then the Justin Lane. But now it is time for our mock drafts. So last week we had an exercise where Andrew made a pick. I did the second pick and so on. We alternated all the way through. But today we are going to share with you our individual mock drafts as they stand today. Now, I can tell you these things shift. They change. We talked early this morning around 7 o'clock as we were both driving into work about just how these things completely evolve. And probably what we present to you next week, it's going to be completely different from what we have today. And Andrew started last week. He's going to kick it off today. And we're going to start round one, pick 24. Andrew Malkasian, general manager, you're on the clock.
So this is a mock draft that I think is mixed with a little bit of hope and a dash of insanity. My hope is that it makes a little bit of sense because there's going to be a rush to get some not linebackers. There's going to be a rush to get some quarterbacks. I think the running backs are going to be taken off the board pretty quickly, and there's going to be some players that fall to the Steelers. I think this is a pipe dream, but if he's available, if he's there,
oh gosh,
you can't not take Jeremiah Owosu-Koramoah from Notre Dame.
JOK.
Do I think he's going to be there? No. In all logical, rational thought says he's going to be taken well before the Steelers get there. But there's part of me that feels as though there's going to be a player of that caliber who's going to fall to the Steelers by the way the draft is going to shake out. There's probably going to be some movement as well at the top of the draft. I know the Eagles are trying to move up. I know we just saw that the Ravens packaged a deal with the Chiefs and are at 32 now or 31.
We're not even saying Ravens on the show. When it's Ravens week next season, we need to like have like a code word because it just makes me sick.
So the idea here is that maybe it's not exactly JOK who's going to be there, but it could be somebody like Micah Parsons. It could be a defensive player who fills a need and is too good to pass up.
Yeah.
So take that for what it's worth. It just seems to make a lot of sense. And I know it's contradictory to what I said before, which was offensive heavy, but it makes some sense.
And we talked this morning about linebackers, and the need is definitely there at the inside position. You know, but it doesn't make that commitment to the running game, which is why I hesitated on making that type of selection in the first round. Right. But I could see it. What I would say, you know, Dave Bryan earlier, I think near the end of last week, Dave Bryan of Steelers Depot talked about how JOK has such a unique skill set that can teams have a specialized game plan to make him fit into what you do? Because if you just throw him out there and have him man the inside linebacker position without tailoring his responsibilities to his strength, he's probably not going to be able to give you 800 snaps of productivity. So I like the pick. For me, number 24, this is going to seem safe and boring, but I'm going Najee Harris. I know that he's a bit older for a Kevin Colbert draft pick, but I think what this team is looking for is somebody who steps in week one and makes the contributions. I think Harris is the most complete back of the group. He's not a burner, but he can, you know, break off a 20, 30, 40-yard run. He's steady. He's consistent. He can run between the tackles. He can catch the ball, which would add another – just a unique element to the offense, which we desperately need, and he's consistent. I know the comparisons to Harris have been Matt Forte, who used to play for the Bears, but I think he automatically makes your roster better. He's a day one starter, and I think that that's what you need. So I know it's a safe pick. Is he going to be there? I don't know. You get 4, 5, 6 good years out of him, but really we're just worried about this year. But I think at number 24 – Najee Harris is the pick.
Yeah, what I like about Najee Harris is that he looks like a Steelers running back when he runs the ball. Yeah. And I know that's a, you know, a ridiculous thing to say, but you Steelers fans know what I mean. I mean, you see a player in college, he plays a particular way, he has a particular sort of manner in which he plays, and you go, that's a Steelers player.
Yeah.
I remember doing that with Jesse James. There was something about when I saw him at Beaver Stadium a few years ago, where it was clear to me he was a Steelers tight end.
Right.
I wish he was a better Steelers tight end, but Najee Harris, to that point, looks like a Steelers running back, and I think he wants to be a Steelers running back at the same point.
Right.
So I think that's a good pick. And it's also, as far as I'm concerned, the most logical pick.
Awesome. Well, thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. All right, round two, Andrew.
At number 55, again, I think this is the same as it was last week for both of us. I'm going the very athletic center out of Alabama, Landon Dickerson.
Landon Dickerson.
We have to address the line.
Did you see the video with him doing cartwheels when Mac Jones was getting interviewed?
No.
Check it out.
No, I did not see that. But despite my unrelenting hope that Pouncey comes back, we have to focus on our line, and we have to anchor that line with a good, if not great, center. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers don't have mediocre centers. You know, it's a who's who of centers of the last 45, 50 years in the NFL for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think Landon Dickerson can help us move forward.
I love Landon Dickerson, and I definitely have considered him and the countless mock drafts that I've done. But my biggest concern there is the injury history. I mean, it's been talked about so much around you know, this player, and I just worry that because he's been injured as much as he has been, who's to say that's not going to happen again? And then you're right back to square one. You know, it's going to be BJ Finney playing center.
Right.
And I almost feel like to start the season with Finney at center, maybe draft one of these guys in the later rounds, bring him along. You know, I almost feel like that's a better play. If they were to draft Dickerson, I would be completely on board. It's just if you're making that big of an investment, especially the second with your second round pick, I just have concerns there. I like the player, the injury concerns.
Couldn't disagree.
All right. So here's where I'm going to contradict something I wrote in an article earlier this week about the Pittsburgh Steelers draft needs. And I'm going outside linebacker here, and here's why. Because the Steelers' defense is predicated on the play of their linebackers. And we have T.J. Watt, beast. He's going to be the highest paid Steeler in history. We have Alex Highsmith, who is not proven yet, but he has showed a lot of promise. If one of them goes down and your greatest depth is Cassius Marsh or somebody taken in the seventh round or the fourth round,
right,
you're leaving a lot up to chance and a lot up to the development of a player taken in the later rounds. I don't think you can do that. I also don't think you could do that at the inside linebacker position. So I like your JOK pick. The same thing there. If one of your guys goes down, if Bush goes down and it's Vince Williams and Spillane, we're in trouble. So I think we are a defensive football team, and this has kind of shifted my approach. You have to have somebody that is your third guy also to spell Watt and also to spell Highsmith. And so that's why with the second pick at 55, we're going Peyton Turner out of Houston. 6'5", 270 pounds. Huge
big kid.
Guy.
Big kid.
And it's just – he's ferocious. He's a three-year starter. You know, he played his college football at Houston. Just big. Lots of upside. Twitchy. He's described as twitchy, and he's explosive. And I think that that's what we need. Obviously – edge rushers need some time to develop in the Steelers defense. There's no expectation for him to come in and start, but he has the skill set needed to be a rotational player, provide quality depth, who could be somebody that would step in if there is an injury.
Well, after the Dupree injury last year, we saw what the Steelers defense is without, right? I mean, we saw what it's set up to be for this year.
Right.
Problematic in so many ways.
Right.
And just for the sake of time, I'm going to jump into pick 87 here. Not that I don't think that's a good pick. I just want to make sure we get through all of them.
Yeah.
With the 87th pick, somebody that I was high on months ago is the halfback out of Ohio State, Trey Sermon.
Love it.
It's just a very logical pick at that point. I don't know if he's going to fall as far as I have him here at 87 because I think the upside is huge. I think there's also a lot of risk. He wasn't always the most healthy player in college. Transferred out of Oklahoma, I think, after an injury. Went to Ohio State. Had an injury early in the season last year. And then he really put on a show in that Big Ten championship game. I know. I brought that up last week, but that was remarkable. I mean, it was a man amongst boys, and it's a pick that seems to be a really great value for the Steelers at pick 87.
I love the Sermon pick, and I have had iterations of my mock where he was my guy. I guess I don't think he's going to fall to round three. I think he's somehow going to sneak up into the earlier parts of round two, and I think that the Steelers would have to move if they want to get him, which I would not take that risk.
Right.
Some people might not agree with that. The other thing, he's 21 years old, so he's a younger guy. Some durability concerns there, but you know, when we look at Harris, he's a bit older. I would not be surprised at all if we see Sermon the pick, and Tomlin Colbert were at Ohio State's pro day.
Right,
so
right.
You know, that's just other. Ammunition there. I think that could be a possible pick. Moving on here, again, we're trying to fit all this in. Pick 87 for me, I'm going back to linebacker. We have our outside linebacker, and for the same reasons, I'm going inside linebacker. Devin Bush goes down. If it's going to be Spillane and if it's going to be Vince Williams, we're in big trouble. It can't happen. So with the 87th pick, if he's there, we're taking Jamin Davis out of Kentucky. Athletic inside guy. Can run all around the football field, brings you that element of splash. Again, he's not going to be expected to come in and start right away, which is a good thing because he doesn't have a lot of starts under his belt. He's inexperienced. But I think he's a guy, if you lose Bush, which I hope that does not happen.
He's ahead of schedule.
Yeah. He can step in and be a better starter than one of those two. But also – you could start working them into the game plan. So even if it is Bush and Spillane, you could start getting Davis some of those reps. And potentially next year, Bush and Davis. I just think, again, we're a defensive football team. It's our strength. You have to draft to that strength. You have to be prepared for those injuries, as we saw last year.
Right.
Jamin Davis, pick 87.
I like it.
We're going to be this is going to be the same pick here.
Pick 128. Largely because it is, it makes.
Do we want to do like a 1-2-3? Like
yeah, course? We'll do a 1-2-3. To me, it makes a lot of sense, and I think you're in the same boat.
Ready?
1-2-3. Tommy Tremble.
Boom.
Yeah.
Consensus. Look at that.
Look at that. To me, he's a guy who maybe they would like, you know, Freiermuth, or they would like. I can't think of the other kid off the top of my head. That's gonna bother me. But Tremble is going to be available when they need a tight end, when they need to, you know, when they've already addressed other concerns. So, all right, we agree on 128. So, you want to take 140?
Let me just hit on Tremble real fast. Again, solid blocker, but I think he offers a lot in the passing game, wasn't utilized much in the passing game at Notre Dame. And I think that, you know, he could come in and make a contribution to the Steelers in that area. You're pairing him with Ebron. We'll see what Gentry and Raider can do, but I think he's a great pick. I don't know if he's going to be there in the fourth round. I'm hopeful, but that's where I have him. So pick 4, 128, Tommy Tremble.
Like it. All right, go ahead. You take the next one.
All right, so at pick 140, I'm going with my first offensive lineman, and that's going to be tackle Robert Hainsey out of Nebraska. Tackle Robert Hainsey out of Notre Dame. I'm looking down to my next pick there. tackle Robert Hainsey out of Notre Dame. Now, look, he's listed as a tackle, but he played some center and guard at the Senior Bowl, and he's a Pittsburgh kid. He is slated to play center at the professional level. So I think this is where Pittsburgh gets their center. And I know that you had the Landon Dickerson pick earlier.
Right.
But I think Robert Hainsey, the Pittsburgh connection, I think that this is a guy in the later rounds. If he's there, he may already be gone. I think he could step in and contribute and maybe that fixture on the offensive line at the center position.
That's a really interesting pick because I hadn't considered it like at all. So I'm not gonna sort of pontificate on something I'm not fully versed in. I'll go to my 140, which I know you're not gonna like, but it's a bit different than I think it was last week. Same position, out of Oklahoma, cornerback Trey Brown, smaller guy, not incredibly fast, but I think value at that point. Especially with whatever's happening with Justin Lane, he's not going to be a top tier corner, but he also could get us, some snaps, especially as the season progresses and injuries mount just naturally in an NFL season. Will he be somebody who is, consistent starter? I don't know, but I think he can provide some depth as we've talked about. It's a good pick as far as I'm concerned because it's a clear need and we can't ignore it too much longer.
I like the pick, and again we're kind of up against it for time here, so we're going to move a little bit quickly. So we're moving on to his pick 216. So Andrew had his pick, my pick, and I got ahead of myself last time. This is the Nebraska tackle. And I'm probably going to butcher his last name, so I hope he's not listening to this because he's massive and he would probably pound me into submission. But Brendan Jaimes, Jaimes, I believe that's how you pronounce
it. Okay.
But again, we need depth at the tackle position.
Yeah.
I think he provides that. He's a developmental pick in the later rounds. And I'm one to think that we have the pieces on the offensive line to be decent.
Yep.
Where we are right now with Banner, another year of development for a core four. So I'm not looking for, Brendan Jaimes to come in and start right away. He's a developmental prospect. And if you look at what the Steelers do, sure, they take linemen in the first round. You look at Pouncey, you look at DeCastro, but they also have a knack for finding guys later on or even undrafted. So I see Jaimes as kind of fitting that profile. So that's why I have at our sixth round pick 216, Brendan Jaimes, out of Nebraska, tackle.
So I don't like my next pick, but it was a pick that I felt was made a lot of sense again for where we were and who was available. You know, when you do the mock drafts, you also have to react in real time to who's being selected ahead of you and who you're thinking other teams are going to take, but also addressing your own needs. So I don't think that my 216 pick of offensive lineman at Notre Dame, Tommy Kramer, is a great selection here, largely because I'm filling in the interior of the offensive line a bit too much, not addressing tackle concerns, which are legitimate. But I was balancing, I think, the idea of some other needs, some serious needs at the top end of the draft, and foregoing some of those tackles, like the kid out of Notre Dame, the kid out of Oklahoma State. Those two tackles are going to go fairly quickly, and I just don't know if the Steelers are going to focus on a tackle first or second round. Right. I could be surprised. We could be surprised. It's a need, as you just said. But 216, Tommy Kramer, Notre Dame.
Oh, so we switch it up. So I went first that round, and you went second. So now we're on to round seven. Pick 245.
245.
All right. And I'm going back to edge rusher, man.
Me too.
Yeah, and here's why.
I'm curious who you have.
Cassius Marsh. Cassius Marsh. Okay. And then the Steelers signed a bunch of players.
He's the most referenced player in this podcast.
He almost reminds me of Carrot Top.
Why?
I don't know. It's like I'm waiting for him to like break out in a joke or something. I don't know. Carrot Top is Jack though.
Yeah. This is taking a weird turn, Jeremy.
Yeah. So anyway. So William Bradley King.
I have William Bradley King.
Hey, did we just become best friends?
We did.
Yes. William Bradley King, and again, my analysis wasn't great last time of Bradley King, but we don't have depth at the edge position. We addressed it second round in my mock with Peyton Turner, a guy who's going to be your third guy in the rotation. If there's an injury, he's going to step in. But you also need to have somebody who's steady, and that's what Bradley King is. He's consistent. He's not going to give you a lot of flash and a lot of splash. You like that? Yeah, but he's going to be steady.
You wrote that ahead of time.
Yeah, I did. It's pretty pathetic. He can bring that steadiness. He's going to be a developmental player, but he's going to provide some depth. Maybe he makes the roster. Who knows? But you need to get somebody in there that has something to work with. And I see Bradley King.
It's such a solid Steelers pick to me. It just seems like we're going to see that on draft day. His name come across, you know, with the ESPN alert ringing just before it.
Yeah.
All
right, you're up, 254.
254. I like this kid. I watched him a lot at Notre Dame. I'm not a Notre Dame fan despite my four-player heavy draft here, which is just the way it happened. I also just like the idea of bringing in a guy into camp to see what happens. I don't know if he's going to be a professional football player. I don't know if he's going to be sort of like a Greg McElroy or something to that effect.
I'm excited. Where's this going?
But he could be somebody who at least challenges the quarterback room, and that is Notre Dame quarterback Ian Book.
Ooh, so last week it was Franks. This week it's Book. Give us the Book on Book.
I think he's a smart player. I think he's a leader. I think you saw that when he was, leading the team last year. He's come through some adversity in his career. Originally recruited to Notre Dame, if I remember the story correctly, but was adamant that that's where he wanted to go. He seems like a guy who really leads a team well, keeps his head, and also seems just like a smart football player. And who knows what might happen, but I think it's an interesting pick.
It's interesting that Book is smart. An intelligent football player.
Yeah, right.
On the Still Study.
Yeah, there's too many puns here to be.
I feel like you did that on purpose.
I didn't.
That's kind of.
I don't even like Notre Dame. I
was going to say. Are you going to draft the Fighting Irishman next?
God, it makes me so.
Is that
angry.
Pick number eight?
It makes me so angry that I did that.
Yeah, you should be. All right. Well, you have a glaring need in your draft.
Tackle,
but cornerback.
I selected a cornerback.
Did you? Who?
I selected the kid out of Oklahoma. Oh
my God.
Trey Brown.
See?
Trey Brown. 5'9".
Pay better attention.
190 or something.
So I'm going cornerback here too. We're at 407. So just quickly, Darren Hall, cornerback out of San Diego State. Project here.
Yeah.
Get somebody into camp to compete. This is probably going to change. We'll see what happens with Lane over the course of the next several days before Thursday. But they need to get somebody there in there at the corner position. Here's the other thing I'll say. Steelers are awful at drafting cornerbacks. Chad Scott, let's go back a while.
Number 30.
Yeah. Artie, your boy.
Artie Burns.
Obviously. Terry Hawthorne.
I don't even remember that name.
Doran Grant.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Jake. He referenced him the other day.
That was a bad pick.
Yeah. We could keep going. Brian Allen.
Who was the kid who mouthed off in the 2004 AFC Championship game?
That wasn't 04. That was 2007 before they played the Patriots in a perfect season. That was Anthony Smith out of Syracuse.
Thanks, Anthony Smith.
Yeah, thanks a lot. He was a safety. Terrible.
Was he really? Wow, my memory is not serving me correctly today. Serving me well.
So that's the guy. He's a body. And the reason why I'm taking him in the seventh round is because the history of the Steelers drafting cornerbacks, let's get somebody late. If you can't get an upper echelon guy early on, I don't see that a corner in the first two rounds at least. So there you have it. Those are our mock drafts for Friday.
Don't hold us to it.
April 23rd. Yeah, and this is going to be completely different next week. But there you go. That's where we are. And again, we'll be back to you. We're going to record next Wednesday because the draft is Thursday. So Andrew didn't know that yet, but we're going to record Wednesday.
Okay.
So
I got a story first.
All right, yeah. And that's where we're going next.
All right.
It is time. People, it is time for Andrew's history lesson.
Do you know anything about anthracite football?
No. Anthracite is a rock.
It's coal.
Coal.
Anthracite coal. Burns cleaner. Mm-hmm. So Fritz Pollard was once quoted. He was the first African-American coach in the NFL. And Fritz Pollard was once quoted as saying, you had college ball, pro ball, and then you had coal mine football. Mm. So one of my favorite stories of all time is about the 1925 Pottsville Maroons, who were a coal mine football team, an anthracite league football team.
Okay.
Anthracite football closed down or, you know, shuttered in 1924. But they were the best of the best.
So this was
an actual league of surrounding communities in, you know, north central Pennsylvania. And the Maroons were, you know, the best. Mm-hmm. And the Maroons petitioned in 24 to enter the National Football League for the upcoming 25 season. And it was a little bit of a hard sell to a certain degree because they already had – the NFL already had a team in this region, Frankfurt Yellow Jackets, who would later in 1933 become the Philadelphia Eagles. But one of the things that was interesting is that the Philadelphia Eagles or the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets had to play on Saturdays because the Pennsylvania Blue Laws made them made it so that it was illegal to play football on Sundays. Mm. Well, the Pottsville Maroons, they didn't care. They played on Sundays at a high school stadium. So a team could play the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets on Saturday, as was customary. You would then go to the nearest team and play them the following day. Mm-hmm. Pottsville Maroons. Pottsville Maroons went out to an incredible start to their season. Granted, they did play teams who had previously played the night before against Frankfurt. Here comes the sort of the twist. In 1925, Notre Dame All-Stars were traveling around the country as well. And this goes all the way through to the 70s, where professional teams would play against the college All-Stars. The college All-Stars were a big draw, and the Pottsville Maroons needed the money. So they were going to play against Notre Dame All-Stars, but they needed a bigger stadium, more money. Philadelphia Phillies, the Philadelphia Athletics, played in Shy Park, approximately like 25th and Lehigh in northwest Philadelphia. Problem was is that was Frankfurt Yellow Jackets territory, and the NFL had a very clear rule about encroaching on other people's mm-hmm. territory. The owner of the Pottsville Maroons was assured that he would be okay, that he would not be sort of penalized. Mm-hmm. He played. They won 9-7. Huge deal for these professional players to beat a college all-star mm-hmm. team. Come a couple weeks later, they are suspended from the league, stripped basically of participating in the remainder of the season, despite the fact that they led the league with the best record at 9-1-1. Their only loss to the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets, who they did subsequently beat 49-0 later on in the season. Oof. But they were also tied with a team from Chicago, the Chicago Cardinals. And in the NFL, at that moment, you didn't have playoffs. The championship was awarded to the team who had the best record. Now, although that they had the same exact record, the Maroons had defeated the Cardinals pretty handedly earlier in the season. I think it was something like 24-10 or something to that mm-hmm. effect. I forget exactly the score, but they beat them handedly. Clearly, Pottsville Maroons are the 1925 NFL champions.
Yeah.
Problem is that they were suspended
right.
due to a miscommunication or a controversial call or a clear sort of issue with the ownership from the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as they were suspended, the Cardinals scheduled two more games. The Cardinals won those two games, got a better record than the Pottsville Maroons, mm-hmm. and was subsequently handed the NFL championship as it was stripped from the Pottsville Maroons. It was not accepted. The Cardinals did not hold on to that. They did not publicly want to accept it until 1933 when the Bidwell family, who still owns them, mm-hmm. publicly accepted the championship. So they still hold the 1925 championship. The only other championship that the Cardinals have is the 1947 NFL championship where they beat the Eagles in a snowy Kaminsky Park championship game. Thankfully, the subsequent year, the Eagles defeated them in the next championship game.
This is getting deep.
In 2009, who did the Pittsburgh Steelers play in Super Bowl 43?
The Arizona Cardinals.
The Arizona Cardinals, owned by the grandson of the man who accepted the 25 championship for the Chicago Cardinals.
Bidwell.
Bidwell. So what did Ben Roethlisberger do and Santonio Holmes do when they won the championship on that last-minute play?
What did they?
They continued the curse of the Pottsville Maroons, that the Cardinals will forever be a bottom-dwelling NFL franchise. The all three, we'll include the Pottsville Maroons as a Pennsylvania franchise, football franchise, all three have beaten the Cardinals four championships over the course of the NFL's history.
Wow.
The idea here is that in 2003, the owners of the Eagles, Steelers, and the then governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Ed Rendell, petitioned the NFL to strip the Cardinals of the 25
wow.
championship and give it back to the Pottsville Maroons.
I was not aware of that.
The NFL, 30-2 vote, voted no. The two votes to strip the Cardinals of the title?
Art Rooney,
and Jeff Lurie.
Jeff Lurie.
That's a little story wow. about how Super Bowl 43 secured wow. and maintained the punishment that the Cardinals deserve.
I feel like I should have been sitting by a fireplace with like a bourbon and a pipe.
There's a just to add a little bit of clarity here. There's a great book called The Breaker Boys, written by an ESPN writer whose first name is escaping me. His last name is Fleming. It's an excellent book. It talks a lot about that. And one of my favorite little tidbits came from an Inquirer story in 2015 where one of the last surviving members of the Maroons watched the Steelers beat the Cardinals in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
He was on the 25 team. He was incredibly sort of excited, I guess you could say, to see that the Steelers had defeated those thieving Cardinals. And as the game concluded, he yelled for his wife if she could get him some water. And when she returned, he was dead.
Oh my God. Wow. And
that's it. That's the story. That's this week's history lesson.
That is an awesome story. And again, I think you see the power of Andrew here. Dude, that was like a studly performance. That might be like all pro worthy. That's not just like Pro Bowl. That's all pro.
All right. Well, I got a topic. I got a topic for next week.
Like, and eventually you're going to have a bad
week. No, that's my favorite story. That's my favorite NFL story.
That was pretty sweet, man.
Yeah. And I probably should have saved it until like we had more listeners than your parents and
mom.
Jake.
Yeah, because my mom probably just stopped listening. She turned it off.
By the way, I just have to say this too.
Sure.
30-2 vote to strip the 25 Cardinals of their title failed. Well, what they did approve was to give the Pottsville community a trophy for their quote-unquote participation. Oh. But we know how James Harrison feels about participation trophies.
Yeah. He loves
them. Do you know what they voted for?
What?
They rejected it. They said, no, thanks. We want the title.
That's right.
Nothing more.
Well, Andrew, that was awesome. And again, this is what you can expect from the site. Andrew's got the talent and the brain when it comes to the history. Wow. I mean, that was just great to listen to. I'm in awe. And that is going to wrap it up. What do we have to look forward to? Ladies and gentlemen, next Thursday is the 2021 edition of the NFL Draft. Are we ready? There's so much to look forward to.
1974, second version.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Let's get
Let's get four Hall of Famers.
Four Hall of Famers. That's what we want.
Nothing less.
You know what I would love? Trey Lance. I've been saying it since December. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. He's going to go like five.
I know. But if there was a way, if he fell, I would be so excited. So that is what we're looking forward to. And what we are most looking forward to is next Wednesday. We will be back, episode number 3. Oh, my God. We've been doing this for so long. Not really. Yeah. So
it's been 8 days.
Well, maybe we can have like our extended family listen next time.
Well, in honor of the Pottsville Maroons, we should have some Yingling next time.
There we go. And maybe we could tweet this out to like Pottsville if they have like a community page or Twitter page.
You're saying Pottsville has a community Twitter page?
I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, have a great week. We'll see you on Wednesday.
That is all for the Still Study podcast, where football, history, education, and flat out random weirdness collide. Have a great weekend.
See you, Jeremy.
See you, Andrew.